This is session 6 of the audio instructions for teacher group leaders of the River of Life digital slide scripted program. So let's move, go back to the slide that we were at, play, and have it be the one that's got the dinosaurs on it and the DNA, how do scientists know this? So we finished that slide, and let's click again. And you'll see the blue Smoky Mountains come up again, and with the words, "Let us begin the River of Life." So we're getting ready to start into the bulk of the slide program beyond the introduction here. Click again, and you'll see that pink number one, Confluence 1. It shows us in pink, two species will be joining, and this happens 6 million years ago. It's the very first place on this pilgrimage back through time where two other species will be floating in a tributary, joining the tributary that we're floating in as well. Click again. So this is how each of the new confluence slides, or each of the new slides, is going to show. As we click along, you'll see what it means here, but you can see the species that are joining us. It shows a 2 at the top, confluence number 1. You'll always have the 6 million years ago, or how long it is, right underneath that. And at this point, if you take a look, in fact, pause the audio here and pick up the teacher's guide as well, if you can. If it's not on screen, if you actually have it in paper, take a look at it. And you'll see that it's very obvious to you as a teacher that you click before the slide comes in, and then once it gets here, you don't click again until you've called up a volunteer to start reading, or until you are actually asking the question of, all right, class, who do you think is our closest relative? And eventually, when someone lands on chimpanzee, you will then make the click. So let's go back to the slide program here. And you're going to click, and you'll see a picture of a bonobo show up with the name bonobo printed below it. So this is where chimpanzees and bonobos come in. Bonobos used to be called pygmy chimpanzees, but now their real name is bonobos. They're the two closest species, most closely related to us. So you can thank the script reader, or if you're just introducing it yourself, make another click, and you'll see Confluence 2 comes in. And at this point, mention to the class that from now on, we're not going to be spelling out million years ago. It's just going to say 7M, and that means 7 million years ago, the next tributary of creatures floats in. And then you can ask the class, how many species are joining us here? They can see, they'll call out 2. Great. So then you either have the script reader come up, or you play the next guessing game. You say, okay, who's the next closest related? And then when they hit on gorilla, then you'll click again and you'll see a gorilla there. Two species, a mountain gorilla and a lowland gorilla, come in. So you're through with that one. Click again. You'll see Confluence 3 comes in with 14M. So you could ask the students, when does this happen? How long ago? And they'll call out 14 million years ago. How many species come in? They'll call out 2. If you don't have time, if you're trying to get this done fast, you can ignore all those things and just immediately go into, okay, who's our next closest relative? 2 species come in this point. Who's our next closest relative? If you have a script, they'll read it and ask the question. If not, you could give, if no one has hit on the name orangutan yet, you'll see that in your teacher instructions. You'll know what the correct answer is. You can give a hint of, it has orangish red hair, and immediately someone will say orangutan. So there you click, you've got the picture of the orangutan coming in. Click again, and there's the hands. And then the class will go, oh, because remember, you had the hands earlier and you asked them, what did you think it was? It's the hand of an orangutan is what it is. All right, click again, and you'll see confluence number 4. Now, I have tried on adults. I have asked this with adult groups, and even when I've had brilliant scientists in the group, none of them have been able to answer this question. So you probably won't want to pose it, but I'm just going to pose it to you, and maybe some of you out there will figure it out. You see that there's 2 different colors that we use for the confluence numbers. Some are black, and some are red. Confluence 1 is red, confluence 4 is red. Now that red means something, and you have as much information as you need on this screen already to be able to figure out why some confluences are red and why some are black. and this pattern is going to continue through the rest of the program. Any guesses? You might want to pause the audio now if you're one of these sort of compulsive puzzle solvers and try to figure it out. So pause the audio, and if not, here's the answer. The answer is that we don't want to be anthropocentric here. That is that, yes, we're traveling in our river, our little stream of life, but occasionally we're going to have a tributary coming in that is actually bigger than us. So technically, that tributary is not going to be joining us in the river of life. Our little stream is going to be floating into a bigger stream. So again, it's not based on numbers of individuals alive in the world today, but number of species. So what we had at Confluence 1 was two species joined, or rather, there were two species already in a stream. We had only one. We joined their stream. Confluence 12, or Confluence number 4, 12 species join at this point. So, from now on, any time that a red shows up, you'll want to make a note of that. And you, in fact, I usually have a teacher note where you ask, all right, why is this confluence marked in red here? And then some of the class will call out, because there's more of them traveling than there are of us. And what you'll see in later slides is how many of us usually shows up in the lower left corner, so that you can compare how many coming in to the total number of how many are flowing in the stream. So before I call up a script reader for confluence number 4, or before I do the guessing game for figuring out what the 12 species are of confluence number 4, I'll ask the class this. I'll say there's 12 species of them. How many of us, how many are there already flowing in this river of life right as we come towards 18 million years ago in our journey into the past? Now, students will generally be able to add up those twos, and they'll go 2, 4, 6. Some of them will say 6, and a few will say 7. Because even though we don't have a number by the pink, there's one species of human. So the correct answer, there's 7 species of us at this point, 12 species of them. We join their river. That's why the confluence is red. All right, you click again and you'll get to the gibbon. You'll see how I suggest in the script. But let's move on now to the song. Every time that you fill up a screen, you see in this case, there are 4 confluences that all are handled before we filled up the screen. There'll be other instances in which just a single confluence fills up a screen. But every time a whole screen is filled up and you click to a new screen, what you're going to get is a song. See, there's the 4 confluences mentioned here. So when this screen first shows up, what I would do is I would simply sing it myself as a teacher. Chimpanzee, bonobo, African gorilla, Asian orangutan, gibbons of Malaysia. These are our tailless ape relatives. These are our tailless ape relatives. If you forget that tune, or if you want to hear a better version of the singing of it, from that yellow box on the River of Life webpage that had all the downloadables on it toward the bottom, you'll see where you can listen online or download me and my husband, actually in a duet, singing several verses of this song. But it's a melody that will stick in your head, very easy to sing. You'll always sing the last verse twice. And if you have young elementary kids who cannot read, what you emphasize to them is that what they should do is listen for this last verse and then try to sing it the second time, because it is repeated twice. So just encourage them, maybe not in this first slide, but as the slides go on, encourage them to listen carefully. You might even want to stop there and say, now listen carefully. These are our tailless ape relatives. And then point to the kids to just from memory sing it again. Very good. You don't even need to have to read to be able to sing that part of the song. The readers can sing the beginning part and you sing this other part. Now, one thing I never have to say to the kids, and I don't know whether they're using it or not, but the count is 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and the emphasis is always on the 1. So anything that you see in all caps is the emphasis. That's the one in the 1, 2, 3. So there we have the song. First time it comes up, I would sing it through myself and then ask the kids to sing it along with you again. And actually, here's the interesting thing. Song is so embedded in the human brain. Song is so deep. There are some evolutionary biologists who believe that before we started talking, we were singing. That we were actually singing words, because singing allows the emotion to go with it. So it allows the communication style to go. Singing is deep. And what you'll find when you start singing this verse for the very first time, you'll actually find that some kids start singing along with you on the second line. They haven't even heard it before, and they'll start singing along. Now, what you'll find is some of the kids may be a little reticent. I know when I've been in small groups of kids, they may be a little reticent to sing. Let that be. There will be a total of 23 verses if you do the long version. If you don't, there'll probably be about 5 or 6 verses. But pretty soon they'll get into it, and you'll hear the class singing more boldly and more boldly and more boldly. Just let that organically develop. Don't push them on it. Now, if you yourself are haven't yet shown the class that you know how to sing, and even if you think you can't sing, model it for them. Sing it, even if you've got a bad voice. Now, if it's really bad, recruit some kids in advance who have good voices. Have them listen to the song on the computer so that they can learn it, and have them lead the class in a song, but at least you sing along too in a quiet voice. You're not exempt. Model for them that no matter how bad your voice is, singing is part of what we all do. This is the end of the 6th audio. There's going to be one more audio that I'm going to introduce for the dance, and then some additional slides that you may or may not want to use and putting into your program earlier on. So pause this here and bring up audio number 7.